When I was a freshman in college, my first year, just a few weeks in, my brother, who was in 10th grade, came up to visit me. And I guess I had a class or something, but he wondered if he could borrow my Volkswagen Rabbit, my lime green Volkswagen Rabbit. And maybe it's because he kind of had a beater car that he had bought for something like $500, or maybe he didn't even have a car at that point. But I said, sure, go ahead. And when I saw him a little bit later, I'd come back to my room, and he came back to the room, and I could tell by the look on his face that something was wrong. He said, Robert, I did something really bad. And my first thought, which he and I still laugh about today, is my keyboard okay? Because I had just bought a brand new piano keyboard to take to college, and I thought maybe he had gotten it out to play with it and spilled a drink on it or something. But no, it wasn't that. So I was actually a little relieved when he said, no, it was your car. And he said, I was driving really fast on those back roads around the school, and apparently, and we never have quite done the forensics on what happened here, but he said, apparently the wind caught the hood, and the hood popped up and mashed against the front windshield, cracking it, and I couldn't get it back down, so I just drove all the way back home with my head out the window. And later, I actually had to take the hood off to do anything with it, and so drove it around for a little while with no hood on the car. And that car wasn't much longer for the world after that, but it was fun while I had it. So he wanted to know, what are you going to do? You know, do I have to pay for it? Are you going to tell mom or dad? I think they had to eventually find out since I, showed up with a car without a hood on it. But the net result, and I think he would put it this way too, was that I had mercy on him. I didn't say, oh no, you have to make this good and put a brand new hood on a 15-year-old car that's falling apart. I was like, it's okay, Glenn. And I think I hopefully was that sincere in the moment. And I actually checked with him yesterday and said, now is my recollection of this story what happened? And he verified all of it. So that was pretty much how that happened. I share that as an example of mercy. Mercy, as Melissa said, is the choice to, you have the right to inflict penalty or to render justice, to say you need to pay for that, you broke it, you should pay for it. Mercy is the choice to forgive, and not just to say no big deal, because it was a big deal. True mercy is saying it's a big deal, but I forgive you. You do not have to replace that. It's extending that hand or that heart of mercy, and that's what I want to talk about today from this beatitude, because Jesus says, blessed are those who show mercy, those who are merciful, for they will receive mercy. Now I want to kind of say two things about mercy. It comes from the Hebrew idea, word, chesed, which I've mentioned before, and it's one of those super rich, dense words that really covers a lot. It can be translated as mercy, as compassion, as kindness, but it is trying to describe something about God's kind of expansive, compassionate and loving nature, God's tendency to render mercy or render compassion, even when it's not, I guess it's never deserved. Otherwise, it would just be a reward. It wouldn't be mercy. And I thought of the same story Melissa did, that Good Samaritan story. Sometimes it's just outright compassion. There's a man beaten, wounded on the side of the road, and the Samaritan showed him compassion. His heart went out to him, and he tended to him and cared for him. That's one kind of chesed, or mercy, or compassion. But what I want to focus on this week is another variation of that, and it's that often in the Bible, mercy is mentioned hand in hand with justice. I should pause for the confirmation students. Like last week, there's kind of two parts, two main ideas today. The first is I want to talk about mercy and what it is, so that's what I'm doing right now, and then I want to talk about the blessing that God gives us when we show mercy. So I'm in the middle of part one. What is mercy? And it's kindness and compassion. And then I've just said, often it's paired with justice. So I want to give you a couple of examples of that. If we back up one verse from our verse today and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 together, it's interesting these two things are right back to back. You know, last week, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, who desire God's righteousness. That is what God says is right. That's another way of talking about God's justice, right? So that's a good thing, to desire what's right, to desire what's just. And then the very next verse, are blessed are those who show mercy. Which one are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to do, you know, make him pay for the broken windshield or show mercy? And they're back to back. Or in Matthew 23 that we heard today, Jesus says about the scribes and Pharisees, you're missing the main thing, right? The main point of the law of God, what God says is right, is to do justice and to show mercy and to be faithful. So they're right there together. God seems to say, I want both from you, justice and mercy, and more faithfulness. Micah 6:8, which you may remember we've mentioned a number of times. What does God require of us? What does God desire from us? It's to do justice and love mercy and to walk humbly with God. How does that work? In fact, God is our example of this. If we look at a verse from Titus, a New Testament book, it actually says, God saved us. And if anybody thinks righteousness is right, it's God. But God saved us not on the behalf of whether we were righteous enough, but according to his mercy. He actually saved us because of Jesus' righteousness. So even God somehow is both righteous and merciful at the same time. It's not what they call a zero-sum game, though, which means that they always have to add up. Like if you have 60% justice and 40% mercy, that's a good balance. Or it doesn't have to be 50-50. It's both at the same time. They don't have to add up to 100. God somehow says, do what's right, seek righteousness, seek justice, do justice, and be merciful, like I am merciful. Now, sometimes, if a crime has been committed, or a violence, or something like that, it's not a mercy to dispense with the justice. Sometimes the most merciful thing you can do is enact what's right, enact the just thing, the punishment for the crime. Because sometimes justice leads to learning or repentance or turning around, and that's the most merciful thing you can do. So I'm not saying there's a rule to follow all the time. You have to use godly wisdom. But what God has shown us is that often mercy, when justice has something due, that can actually lead to repentance and a new start and a new day as well. Well, all that Jesus says leads to blessing. If we can somehow extend God's mercy, godly mercy, compassion, kindness to other people, he says you will be blessed. Now, if I'm honest, I can sometimes generate some kindness, some mercy, if someone is kind to me first, right? So I'm thankful. You know, my brother let me off the hook. I guess I can go let the kid next door off the hook for something. You know, I can forgive him. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus turns it around the other way. And he says, blessed are those who show mercy, because they will then receive mercy. We're supposed to do it first. We're supposed to initiate this kindness and compassion and mercy. Consider this. In Matthew 6, just the very next chapter, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Right, this should sound familiar. It starts out, our Father who art in heaven. But halfway through that, after he said, give us this day our daily bread, Jesus says, pray like this. God, forgive us of our debts, our sins, our trespasses, in the way that we have forgiven others. Basically, God, would you show us mercy in the way that we've shown each other's mercy? I mean, that's a prayer that most of us have prayed many, many times. Do you know how scary that is? Right? I'm asking God to show me mercy in the same way that I've shown others. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying we should do in the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, you are blessed if you show mercy, because God will show mercy to you. Honestly, I haven't quite wrapped my head around that, right? I don't want it to work that way. I just want God to take it easy on me. But God's also righteous. God's also just. And somehow in this pattern for how we pray and live, Jesus says, this is what you need to ask for, that God do unto you as you have done to others. It's a little bit terrifying. But we're going to keep praying it because Jesus told us to pray it. I want to come back then finally to Micah 6:8. Because I think that, and I didn't break this apart this way when we studied this summer. But look at this verse. And the yellow is for things I'm going to emphasize. Although, Clay, if you want to shout justice and mercy anytime, go right ahead. I don't know what you'll do with orange, but you're welcome to do it. So Micah 6:8, we've talked about it a lot this summer. What does the Lord require of us? What does God desire from us? It's to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. After reading the Beatitude this morning, this is how this strikes me. God wants me to do justice, to do what's right, to seek righteousness, right? To ask in any situation, what does God want? God also wants me to love the idea of compassion and mercy and forgiveness, and to weave that into my understanding of righteousness. How, if we can do those two things together, and that seems to be what God wants from us, of course that will produce humility. I mean, how could I have anything other than humility if I realize that this is how God has approached me, right? To say, I require absolute holiness and righteousness, and yet I'm going to show you mercy because I know you're going to fall short. If we can hold these together, it will produce this walking humbly that he talks, that Micah talks about here. And that's part of that blessing of mercy. So just to help out the confirmation students again, what is mercy? It is kindness and compassion that doesn't ignore what is right, because we're supposed to seek that with all of our heart too. But it shows kindness and compassion and forgiveness to others, because that's what God is like, and we're supposed to be like God. And the blessing of that, part two, is that as we show mercy, God says we will experience his mercy and perhaps others' mercy in response. That's the reward. That's the blessing of being merciful. So that brings me to the blessing challenge that we want to end with each week. And this is a way to help folks kind of make application out of what Jesus is talking about each week. How do we take this teaching on what is mercy and what are we supposed to do with it and weave it into our life? Now, most weeks I've said, today, Sunday, go think of a way that you have experienced mercy, for example, and then this week, look for an opportunity to show it. Jesus has flipped it around, so I want to do that with you this morning as well. I'd like to challenge you to start with showing mercy, because that's where Jesus starts. Today, throughout the week, look for an opportunity to show the mercy, the compassion, the kindness of God to someone in your life. It can be a stranger, it can be a friend, it could be someone close to you in your family. But look for an opportunity to choose to show mercy. And then at the end of the week, maybe Saturday night, maybe next Sunday morning, before we return, think through your week and see if God has made you aware of his blessing in return, like a greater awareness that God has shown me mercy, or perhaps someone has shown me mercy back as part of that blessing. But this week, Jesus says, start with blessing others, and then see if you don't realize that you are receiving the blessing yourself. So it's a little bit of flipping that around. For the confirmation students, I'm just giving you a heads up because I'll see you this afternoon. In the application, I'm wanting you to be specific, and I'm wanting all of you to be specific. The application isn't just, I should go be merciful this week. I want you to think of a person. Maybe it's Bill next door. Maybe it's your big brother or your little sister or your mom or your dad or your grandmother. Maybe it's the person that you work with that you're only seeing on Zoom now. But see if God doesn't put a name on your mind or a situation or a person and think, this is it. This is what Robert was talking about Sunday. I have an opportunity to be merciful. Will I do that? And then pay attention and see how God blesses that. May God indeed bless us and give us ears to hear and hearts to follow. Amen.